And good evening, I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Recently, Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim suggested that school students be taught to clean toilets. This to build character and instill values of cleanliness and respect for others. But the responses to the suggestion have been mixed. At the root of the matter, I think, is the issue of toilet etiquette. What are we teaching our children at home, and why are schools and the ministry now involved? Our first guest today is Datuk Dr. Muhammad Ali Hassan. He's the president of the National Parent Teacher Association Consultative Council, or PIBGN. Datuk Ali, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. You had earlier responded to the news by suggesting that students who have disciplinary issues be the first to be given bathroom cleaning duties. Could you elaborate as to why you said so, why you think so, given that there has been some pushback or objection to your suggestion?
Hello. Good day, Melissa. Thank you for having me. The suggestion by the Prime Minister the students should be responsible and make them do their duties to clean their toilets and to take care of the facilities, public facilities available in the school compound, I think is a remarkable suggestion. And the public or the population must adhere to and implement it urgently. That's my own side of the item of the suggestion.
Right, but why did you suggest that it would be students who have disciplinary issues be the ones to clean toilets? Wouldn't that seem as though cleaning toilets is a punishment and not the collective responsibility?
Well, perhaps it's just a suggestion. Maybe it's not that easy to start everyone in the school or the student to clean the toilet. But perhaps to show a kind of action, perhaps to discipline some kind of undisciplined student or citizenship in the school, or even in any other public compound offices, one should perhaps show by example who to start it with. Maybe it's easier. Maybe we can say that as a punishment, but I don't think it is really a punishment. It is some form of, I would say, social helping the public to clean the toilet. I must remind ourselves, the toilets and other public properties are properties that belong to all of us. We should take care of the toilets. We remember, or we must emulate the countries like Korea, Japan. The citizen make sure the public amenities, the public facilities, are their own responsibilities, not just head of department or the principals or the headmasters, but all have to perform their what we call social public responsibilities and to take care of the amenities and the facilities available. It's for themselves. It's not for others too. It's for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's good for them.
Right. Okay, so the parents that you have spoken to, are they generally supportive of this initiative? What have been some of their feedback, their concerns, or even reservations they may have?
Well, for a start, I don't think we will receive 100% sign of success stories. I'm sure there's some percentage of the population who probably adhere or not liking the suggestion by the Prime Minister to help the cleaners to clean the toilet and other public facilities or amenities. You see, I think we should not follow these few, perhaps I would say, naughty or perhaps not liking this kind of duties. Maybe they think these duties are responsibilities of the cleaners. But at the same time, I think, what's wrong? Was any harm to be done if, for example, the rich and the poor and the moderate help clean the public facilities together? Together, we take care of the amenities and the facilities, and together, we take care of our cleanliness and our health together and our environment. I think it's part and parcel of our duties, and we have to start from the school or even from home.
Okay. I have to admit to you, I was quite surprised when the Prime Minister brought this issue up, and the fact that the Education Ministry is looking into this when they have far more important issues to be thinking about when it comes to our education system. Why do you think the issue of toilets and toilet cleanliness in schools have been such a long-standing problem? I mean, since even I was in school, it was an issue. So why has it not been resolved generation after generation dealing with this?
I think because we were thinking, but perhaps there's someone who take care of the facilities. Someone perhaps we have paid them to take care of the toilets. Maybe we have a kind of a structured responsibilities. Only these people take care of the toilets or other public amenities. I think it is a wrong thinking that I think only few people will take care of this and the others just neglect your duties. To me, we should install the spirit of working together, the spirit of taking care of our communities together, the spirit to start young, the spirit of doing our social responsibility together and not neglecting and ask others to do it for us. I remember during my school time, I've been asked, or the student been asked, for example, to pick trashes, rubbish around the playing fields or school compound. I think for us, we don't abhor it. We take it very seriously, and we do our part and help to clean the school compounds. I think perhaps I would suggest the classroom or take turn in charge of the cleanliness of not only the toilets, perhaps the compound around your school or the classroom, and perhaps they turn to take care of beautification of the school compound too. It helps us to be a responsible citizen and to aid ourselves to take care and to be disciplined in our life and perhaps in our daily duties.
Dato Ali Hassan of the National Parent Teacher Association Consultative Council. A quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. We're discussing the suggestion that students should clean toilets in schools. Datin Nur Azima Abdul Rahim joins us now. She's the chairperson of the Parent Action Group for Education Malaysia, better known as PAGE. Datin Azima, we understand that you are supportive of the Ministry of Education's initiative to involve students in keeping school bathrooms clean. But I'm just wondering whether you have any specific concerns or any challenges that you anticipate with this initiative?
Well, when I was in school at Bukit Bintang Girls School, we all had toilet duty as part of the duty roster. So this is nothing new to us. And I suspect for some BBJS mothers, they've got their children to do their toilet duty as well at home. You know, so I think it's a very good idea. The only problem I see is that I think parents themselves may not be happy with it, but I think parents have to sit down and realize that these are actually living skills. you know, that children have to learn from young, and it goes into adulthood, and we can't be expecting cleaners to be cleaning your own toilets for the rest of your life. This is a very good living skill, and it also builds character, I believe. You know, empathy, humility goes a long way. These are all the nilai-nilai murni that you learn in school, and this is exactly what's happening by cleaning toilets without even realizing it.
Right. Okay, so we understand that the details of this Clean School Toilets initiative from the ministry hasn't yet been revealed. But what would you like to see in terms of how students are involved, but not just students, but other stakeholders, teachers, janitorial staff, school administration? It has to be collaborative, yes?
Yeah, definitely. But I think with students, you have to give them the right tools. You know, you have to give them gloves, mops, you know, cleaning utensils, soap powder, etc. And they should be taught how to be doing this, you know, so that they actually enjoy, appreciate and value what they're doing for the school, for themselves, and you know, for everyone else. It's such a nice thing when you go into a clean toilet and make sure you know everything is clean again before you leave the toilet. It's so fantastic to have. In fact, cleanliness is a very good habit to have.
Okay.
But I think most importantly, it's not about so much cleaning the toilets, I think, and flushing what's bad. I think what's more important is that we shouldn't be flushing a good quality education system. I think that's important. And you know that we have been supporting the English language, and particularly the dual language program. And we are afraid that the education minister is going to flush down the toilet the dual language program.
Well, that was also a little bit of my concern with this issue. Not so much the initiative, which I think is good, as you said, life skills. But why is the Prime Minister being the one to raise this issue? Why is the ministry focusing on the toilets, the cleanliness of toilets in school, when there are clearly more pressing matters to be looked at within the school, the education system? Or am I mistaken? Is this so pressing that we hear stories of students not eating, not drinking for fear of going to the really disgusting bathrooms in schools? Am I understating the importance of cleanliness of school toilets here? That the fact that the Prime Minister and the Minister of Education has to now step in.
Yeah, I think it's a good start, you know. But you know, there's so many more issues that the Education Minister and the Prime Minister should be addressing. Of course, cleanliness is important, but there are many more things, and which such as the English language, which is not being addressed. I'm very, very concerned about this because, you know, you talk about, the government's talking about AI, you know, virtual reality, ding dong, and, you know, providing global services around the world. But all this is communicated in the English language. So if we don't get our act together, you know, it's just going to be a fly-by-night idea, and the FDIs are going to go elsewhere. I mean, we are seriously, desperately needing those FDIs to make sure that our children, the youth, have a better quality of life.
Right. Okay. Well, while I have you on the issue of toilets, can I just ask you who you think should bear the ultimate responsibility for ensuring cleanliness and maintenance of school toilets?
Well, at the moment, it's the cleaning contract company which has the ultimate responsibility. But I think slowly you should push that responsibility to teachers and especially students, because I think there are many things, values to be learned from cleaning toilets, which may not be very appealing at this point, but again, you know, so much to be learned from cleaning toilets.
Is this the low hanging fruit that you would have liked to see addressed? Given that, okay, it's been about 7 months since the education minister has come into the role. You know, in terms of progress and addressing some of the more pressing concerns, what did you, beyond the English language, what were you hoping to see from the Ministry of Education?
Well, of course, aside from the English language, of course, we like STEM. We've always liked STEM. And, you know, we have the National STEM Center, which nobody seems to know exists. It's actually sitting in the basement of the Ministry of Education, And I think one of the first things that Ministry of Education came in to say was that she wants to abolish it, which I think is a very serious matter, because now the Academy of Science Malaysia is up in arms, because we want it to be elevated, not to be abolished. It should be a national STEM center. It was initially started as a collaboration between MOSTI and MOE, and now MOE has taken it, and MOSTI should come out and maybe place it under the Pusat Sains Negara, because Pusat Sains Negara also is keen on educating their STEM teachers. You know, so I think this is a very serious matter. Again, if we're going into AI, et cetera, the National STEM Center is the place to go to from teaching students the right way to do science, lab experiments, et cetera, right up to creating jobs for our science graduates.
Okay, Datin Azimah, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Datin Nur Azimah of Page Malaysia. We're going to take another very quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Melissa Idris. Thanks so much for staying with Consider This. Let's continue our discussion about the suggestion that students should clean toilets in schools. Let's speak now to Jack Sim, who is the founder of the Singapore-based World Toilet Organization, which advocates for clean and safe sanitation facilities and also aims to address the gap in education about toilet hygiene. Jack, thank you for joining me on the show today. What do you make of this suggestion? Should students be made to clean school bathrooms?
So in Japan, all the students have to clean the bathroom. And because of that, they learn the importance of hygiene and they know how to care for each other, because each class will clean for a week and then the following week will be another class cleaning for it. But because they know that their turn will come, they have to make sure that they don't mess up and then their behavior is good. Then everybody says to each other, don't dirty the toilet, then make it easier to clean. So I think that the Japanese culture created one of the cleanest culture in the world, and it's something to for us to follow. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely true. Thank you for pointing to Japan. I do want to ask you, though, I mean, this has been such a long-standing issue. I wonder whether it goes beyond toilet etiquette or culture, norms, values that are being taught at home. Apart from, the practice of keeping toilets clean, how important is the design and layout of toilets in ensuring that it's a positive and hygienic experience for students at schools? What elements would you highlight when it comes to designing school toilets to promote hygiene and convenience?
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. So if you design a toilet to be dry and easy to clean, then it will stay that way. But if you design it in a very haphazard manner, then it will be wet. So what do I mean? If you wash your hand at the wash basin, and then your hand dryer is over the other side, then you will have to walk with your wet hands over to the other side to do hand drying, which people don't. So what they do is they flick their hands on the floor and the floor become wet. And then the footsteps start to walk onto the wetness and it spreads the dirt. So the toilet become very dirty immediately. Whereas if the washing, hand drying is in the same place, then that's a good design. So you can design the toilet to be dry rather than to be wet. And we try also in China, when we go to rural area and we develop, we renovate their dry toilet, which is basically a hole in the ground, into a flush toilet. Then we ask the children to clean. After that, they feel very proud about themselves, that their toilet is clean, and they feel a pride and they feel a sense of community. Then later on, they start to treat other public goods as their own. Whereas in one of the school, the principal went to employ somebody to clean it up, and then the toilet became very dirty. So I asked, why is the toilet very dirty? Because the student didn't take ownership anymore. So I think that cleaning the toilet, laying out the design properly, ergonomically, so that it is very conducive for the user and the cleaners. These are very important.
Okay, just while we're on the topic of design, I know that the World Toilet Organization has been instrumental in advocating for safe hygienic sanitation for all, so being inclusive. What strategies do you have when it comes to addressing sanitation for girls in schools? Because there should be facilities and resources in girls' toilets to address their specific hygiene needs, such as menstrual hygiene management.
Yeah, first of all, there is a wrong design in most buildings where the men and female toilet are equal size. You have to give more space for the ladies' toilet because they don't have urinal. So for every urinal or cubicle in the gents, you have to give a cubicle to the ladies so that the ladies don't have to queue up. So that is a law that I have changed in Singapore since 2005. In Singapore, you don't have to queue up. The ladies' toilet are much bigger. And this, I think, I hope to introduce to Malaysia. And in the sanitary bin for the menstrual hygiene, napkin disposal and all that, this have to be facilitated, and it should be foot operated rather than, you know, to touch the lid and to lift it up. Then sometimes if you have not foot operated, they leave the sanitary pad on top of the bin, and it's like so disgusting, right? Some blood over there. So I think that people behave in the most convenient way, and you have to design all things the most convenient way, and they will behave properly.
Okay, well, you raised Japan as the gold standard in terms of cleanliness of public goods, right? But looking at other countries, now I'm just wondering, for a Malaysian context, where are the specific challenges that you think we can look at other countries and maybe apply, you know, in terms of maintaining toilets in schools? Do you look at other countries' schools and their toilets and how they are managing it?
So, for example, in Thailand, they are very clean also. The culture of the Thai people are very clean. So you can learn from Thai culture, basically like a developing country, advanced developing country like Malaysia. And that they're very thoughtful, right? Because they are anal washer, so they will put a piece of towel outside the toilet so that after anal washing, the shoes will not be wet, and then it won't wet the whole place. So people have to start to think thoughtfully, and then the problem can be solved. You know, one of the cleanest toilet in the whole Malaysia is called the North South Highway toilet, and it's always clean. And if you can be clean like the North South Highway toilet, every toilet can be clean. You just need to have this culture, and then you go to KLIA airport and all that. It's not very clean. So an airport, come on, it's even more glamorous. So I think that in Singapore, what we did is we say that the first impression of a visitor is the toilet in the airport, and the last impression is the toilet in the airport. So if you want to keep good impression, you make the toilet very clean. And I think the last thing I want to recommend is that you should have a minister who is a champion of toilets in Malaysia. You used to have one, but he's passed away. So either minister or prime minister, tell me who he is and yep. Go and meet him straight away.
Well, the Prime Minister raised this issue in a national speech, so it's become a national issue now. I want to ask you, in the couple of minutes that we have left, I mean, why is it important that we pay attention to the issue of toilet etiquette and the culture of cleanliness? Because it goes beyond schools, doesn't it? It boils down to practice at home and what we're teaching and modeling our children. So why is it so important? Why are you so passionate about this, Jack?
Because quality life requires quality culture. You go to the toilet 6 to 8 times a day. That is culture. So you need good toilet culture. If you 6 to 8 times a day, you suffer disgust, then your life is not quality. So you want to have good toilet culture also because of your health and hygiene, so that you're protecting yourself from getting diseases or transmitting it to others. So I think good toilet culture has tourism income, has good education, has national pride, has good image, has it's mitigate the health risk. So many things come from a clean toilet. Why not, right?
Thank you so much. Jack Sim from the World Toilet Organization wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night. We'll be right back.